Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Should you chase rookie wide receivers in redraft? Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros, the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe P. Zapia. That man is Mike Tagliere. We're coming to you today to talk about some redraft tight ends and redraft wide receivers, where we have them ranked versus the current ECR. It's never too early to prepare. We're going to go through all of them. We just did yesterday's show, in case you missed it, the quarterbacks and the running backs. Yates and I broke it all down. And in case you can hear in the background, that's my man Tags being a tough guy, soldiering through. He is under the weather. Wherever the weather is, it's very low, and he is even under that. He is subterranean of the weather, but he's here anyway because he knows how important this information is to all of you listening. And in case you like old man Grandpa Tags, who's going to cough his way through this program but still give you great information, this is the show for you. Tags, how much cough medicine are you on right now? Be honest.
No, I'll take a giant shot in the morning and try and get through the day. I would have been here yesterday with you and Yates, but I didn't have a voice, and I'm actually just now getting it back. And for those listening, if you listen regularly, you know that this is not my normal voice. But I'm working my way through, because if I could be a part of the show, I want to be a part of it. So I'm glad I actually have a voice today.
It's like a husky, sexy kind of voice. You know, hey, if you want to find out more about wide receivers, just follow me on Twitter. I like it. I think
you know what
it's
I felt like. Do you ever see the Bat Dad thing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You do have a little Bat Dad
quality. But when my voice was gone, I had to whisper everything. So it's like, hey, Tab, do you want to go to Walmart? That's how it felt while I was talking to her. So it was just like everything came across as I was like, you know, Batman or something.
Oh, that is good. You should definitely do that voice sometime during that show today, because that is that's good. That's good stuff, man. You caught me on that one. All right. So today what we're going to do, like I said, is half point PPR rankings. We're going to break down where Tags has certain rookie wide receivers and tight ends, where I have them versus ECR. And if you want to kind of follow along with us, go to fantasypros.com/rankings to check out the ECR right now over on our site. And you can follow on, kind of get your own ideas too of some of the players we're talking about in these same clusters as we start to compare these rookies versus some other situations. And if we've learned one thing from last year, Tags, it's that rookie wide receivers can certainly come into the league under the worst set of circumstances ever last year, with no OTAs, no preseason, and have an all-world kind of impact. And so many certainly did last year. And it's going to be fun to see if that can repeat this season. I don't know if it's going to be as good. I think the bar is pretty high, but regardless, we're going to kick it off here. But before we do, I want to remind everybody, we're giving away an autographed Calvin Ridley jersey. Thanks to our friends at Pristine Auction. Just go to fantasypros.com/contest. All you got to do is leave a review over on Apple Podcasts or CastBox. And then you screenshot that review. You fill out the form over at fantasypros.com/contest. And just like that, bang, you are entered to win an autographed Calvin Ridley jersey. Thanks to Pristine Auction. It also may or may not come with a side of NyQuil for Tags. We'll find out as we go on. Let's start with the tight ends, though, today. Again, half point PPR. I want to start with this because really I feel like in redraft, you know, we could talk a little about Freiermuth in a second, maybe, you know, one or two other guys if you really have to in those tight end premium wackadoo leagues out there. But let's talk about Kyle Pitts because this is a situation that right now ECR has him at tight end 8. I have him at tight end 8. But we've had these internal discussions here in redraft about how we feel like it's going to continue to tick up and up. Now, Tags, where do you have Kyle Pitts right now in your rankings? And are you keeping him steadfast there for what reason?
I have him at tight end 7 right now, and it's building in a little bit of uncertainty with the guys right behind him, because I'm not necessarily saying he's going to finish as a top 7 tight end, but it's more like, all right, if he finishes as a top 10 tight end, he's an outlier. Because rookie tight ends just don't perform. Are we expecting him to finish as an outlier? I wouldn't be that guy. I'm never that guy, especially when he's on a team with Julio Jones, with Calvin Ridley. It's a brand new offense with Arthur Smith. We don't know if they're going to throw the ball nearly as much as they have in years past. So when you're the third option on a team that's going to be more balanced in a first-year head coach, I believe that you should temper expectations for him. Now, with that being said, you get past the top 6 tight ends. The top 6 I'm talking about, Travis Kelce, George Kittle, Darren Waller, Mark Andrews, TJ Hockenson, and Dallas Goedert. Mm-hmm. Once you get outside those guys, it's a bunch of question marks, right? You get into Noah Fant, a guy that has really big question marks at quarterback. He's also the number 3 option on that team when Cortland Sutton back, Jerry Jeudy there. They have a couple of running backs that can catch the ball to the backfield. Robert Tonyan, we don't know about Aaron Rodgers right now. Mike Gesicki. Obviously, Miami's filled with pass catchers now. Logan Thomas. I like Logan Thomas, but again, there's all these names that are coming into those situations. There's a lot of question marks. So if you want to bet on Kyle Pitts, tight end 7 feels about right for me. But again, this comes down to the fact, will I draft him? No, because the tight end 7 comes off the board a lot earlier than they should. If you don't get one of those elite tight ends, you should be waiting at the position and maybe even grabbing 2 guys and saying, hey, I'm okay grabbing Tyler Higbee and Logan Thomas and kind of working with those 2 rather than reaching for a tight end like Kyle Pitts in maybe the 5th round.
And there's even some possibilities of guys like Irv Smith continuing to emerge and some other tight ends there. I know I'm very high on Jonnu Smith this year with the Patriots. I was high on him last year with the Tennessee Titans as well. I feel like this is where relative position value comes in so much, which is what's the separator, right? And what RPV is the separation where it tells you just how much better and more productive a player is than his peers. And you're looking at the tight ends. I just did this all for the Black Book. What's fun about this is there's really very little separation here when you get to this spot where we both kind of basically have Kyle Pitts. He is still a minus. He's not a negative in a huge way, but he's still below the average tight end 1 in your, you know, 12 team fantasy league, but not by much. And that's the whole point. And I think what Tags is trying to drive home to everybody is, why would you reach an ADP for him where you can get another 3rd wide receiver, 2nd wide receiver, another 2nd running back or something like that, that you really need for your roster? Someone who can really move the needle, whereas Pitts might not move the needle very much from a Logan Thomas, from a Jonnu Smith, from a Dallas Goedert. They might be closer than you think. And I think that's exactly the point. And I guess here's the follow-up question too. If indeed Julio Jones gets moved, does this ECR just kind of skyrocket, or are you part of that movement as well, where you have to kind of account for the change in the target dissemination?
I don't think Julio Jones is going to get moved. I know that that's been discussed. I don't think he's going to. So right now I'm planning as if he's not. If Julio Jones goes, then we get into a bigger conversation, right? Because then you get into say, can he pass Dallas Goedert? Because again, you go to Philadelphia and you say, Devonta Smith's there now, Jalen Reagor a full year under his belt. It's a new offense, you know, but again, Zach Ertz is probably going to be gone. They're probably going to release him. So I can't see him getting higher than 6 for me, Kyle Pitts, no matter what, even if Julio goes. But as of right now, I'm expecting Julio to be in the team, because with the way they extended Matt Ryan, it was kind of like, hey, we're going to try and compete right now. The NFL changes so fast, so I'm not going to say it's not possible. I think it's a very steep obstacle when it comes to the defense and what they bring to the table. But I think Julio will be there. But again, so Pitts at 7, that can move. Honestly, I can only see it moving down just based on everything that's going on with the tight ends right below him.
All right, last question for you here when it comes to tight ends. Should we expect anything from Pat Freiermuth this year if Ebron should get hurt? I mean, we know rookie tight ends, you said it yourself, they never finish within the top 10. Usually takes at least a year or so for them. I mean, look at TJ Hockenson. You see some of the progress Fant has made and some other young tight ends over the years. Do you think there's any chance that any of these other guys in redraft
can actually emerge even towards the latter part of the season and be useful in redraft leagues.
No, because like if you go through it and you look at the most recent years, I went through like the last 10 years and talk about tight ends and rookie tight ends and what they've done. And again, if you finish as a top 12 rookie, like as a rookie, you're an outlier. You're someone that you're in the 5% category. The only other person that did that was Evan Engram. Evan Engram did that. And what did it take? It took injuries to both Odell Beckham and Brandon Marshall. And he kind of became the insto de facto number one target in that offense. Whereas you look at someone like Pat Freiermuth and say, even if Eric Ebron went down, you would still need injuries to either Juju Smith-Schuster, to Deontay Johnson, to Chase Claypool. Because again, no matter what, he's the fourth option at best on that team when all three wide receivers are healthy. And now you have Najee Harris, a great receiver out of the backfield. So Freiermuth, he is not even close to my radar in redraft.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. And I know even some people are going to be digging up and you could love the talent, but as Tags is kind of laying out there, there's so many variables that would have to happen for him to become useful in year one. It's just probably not going to happen. So it's Pitts and everybody else in terms of rookies this year. So that's why I kind of wanted to get that out of the way for a moment. Let's move on to wide receivers and let's start with the ECR of Ja'Marr Chase, which right now is at 33, which I think is too low. I have Ja'Marr Chase at 26 wide receiver overall, and I have room to move him. In fact, I am just a couple weeks away from kind of putting out the black book, and I'm struggling right now because I have him right in that very top area of wide receiver 3. I can make a case for him as a low end 2, especially when you start to peel into the game logs of Tyler Lockett and guys like that, and where we think Cooper Kupp lies now in this offense. There's a bunch of those guys at the bottom of wide receiver 2 that I think are softer, where you look at Ja'Marr Chase's upside and you can see him going past them. I'm struggling with this, and you, I think, have him even higher than I do, so maybe this will help me through this process. So where do you have Chase ranked in wide receivers redraft and half PPR?
Yeah, so right now I'm kind of working through the projection process, and I know a lot of people have automated systems. They have these systems built that automatically input the numbers for them. I don't do that. I actually go through every team, and I go through their history. I look at everything, and then I start inputting projections team by team. I've only gotten to Denver so far, but fortunately, Ja'Marr Chase was part of the group that I've already done. And when you look at the Bengals with Joe Burrow, what he was able to do with T. Higgins, while A.J. Green was extremely inefficient, he was getting targeted a ton. Tyler Boyd was obviously fantasy relevant. T. Higgins was the number 11 fantasy wide receiver in the full games that he played with Joe Burrow. So, you know, and it was 8 games, so it was half of a season. So it's not like a 3-game sample size or something like that. Joe Burrow is going to throw the ball a lot. That defense is still a work in progress. They're still working through it. So I'm anticipating him to throw the ball 650 times, if healthy, obviously. He's not going to be as mobile now. But what helps Ja'Marr Chase, and the reason I have him at wide receiver 21 right now, is because he walks into the NFL with built-in chemistry. You know, right. Joe Burrow is reportedly the one that clamored for him instead of Penei Sewell. A lot of people thought they should go with the offensive tackle, but Burrow's like, give me Chase. What those two did was magical. They're on the same page. Most receivers come into the league, and the reason, and they take some time to develop. And the reason that happens, even Justin Jefferson got slow out of the gate, but then he stepped up, and it's like a 1,400-yard season. But what happens is, like, if you watch wide receivers in free agency go to a different team, a lot of times it takes some time for them to build some chemistry, for them to learn an offense. I guarantee you that Ja'Marr Chase has been talking with Joe Burrow throughout this entire process, learning the playbook. T. Higgins opens up the field because he can stretch the field more than I think people realize. And Ja'Marr Chase is going to be that, he's going to be that go-to wide receiver, I believe, in year one. It sucks because T. Higgins is so good. Tyler Boyd is a great possession style receiver, but that just means more one-on-one coverage for someone like Ja'Marr Chase, who again is the most talented wide receiver of that bunch. As much as I like T. Higgins, Chase is the guy. So I'm going to say wide receiver 21. I think you can make the case for him to be a top 18 wide receiver, but again, you don't want to pay for someone you haven't seen in the pros just yet. But we go back to the comparisons. I compared Ja'Marr Chase to someone like DeAndre Hopkins. So I do think the ceiling is there for him to finish as a top 15 wide receiver in year one.
I got to tell you, that chemistry and that built-in rapport and timing is the thing that I'm kind of struggling with, too, of how much do I want to account for that? How much do I want to put that in? And it's starting to feel the more time I have to figure that out, the more I want to go that route, the more I kind of do want to move him up a little bit. And I think ECR is going to move up eventually, too. You know, when everybody sees everybody on the field together, that's when in late August, everything starts to skyrocket. You see a lot of helium with players, but specifically in this one, I think with Chase, I think if you're drafting early, moving moving him up might actually be a good thing, because it might be worth that extra round or so you might go for him. And those other players that are safer, wide receivers so deep, you can make up the ground anyway if you want to take that shot. All right, let's take a moment here and recognize one of the sponsors of today's show, and it's IP Vanish. So what is IP Vanish? It's a virtual private network, a VPN for short. That super important tool that helps you safely browse the internet. You can use a VPN on your computers, tablets, phones, and even things like Fire Stick when you're streaming media. And when you use VPN, all your data is encrypted, what you're reading, what you're searching, and what you're watching, and whatever it is you're doing. So for our listeners of the show, IP Vanish is offering an incredible 65% off. That's just $349 for the first month and $31.49 for the year. And what you get is anonymous IP address. You circumvent online censorship, get protection when using public Wi-Fi, and 24/7 support. Just email, chat with them, even call them. They're there to help. Go to ipvanish.com/pros, claim 65% off your savings. And again, they have plans starting at just $349 and all the way up to $31.49 a year. This is the time to sign up. Again, that is ipvanish.com/pros. Claim your 65% off savings today. Tags, let's talk about another big-time wide receiver that's entered the NFL. And obviously, this is one that I think you and I are higher on than most. The ECR right now for Devontae Smith is 41. I have him at 40. But you, my friend, once again, are leading the charge. I love Devontae Smith. I think he's going to work his way in. I think he's going to be the go-to guy for Jalen Hurts. But you are ready to really kind of put that workload on him from day one, I think, with the ranking that you've got him in.
I am. You know, you look around the NFL and you say there's 32 teams, right? So there's 32 number
one. That is correct.
There's 32 number one options at wide receiver. Devontae Smith is not a guy you trade up and not use as that number one receiver. They don't have anybody else in the roster outside of Jalen Reagor, who, again, you go back to last year, he didn't impress as much as I thought he would. He was never meant to be that number one receiver, more of a complimentary role. So it is going to be Devontae Smith. And this is weird for me to be the guy that's like trying to push rookies a little bit higher than ECR. And I think people are scared because of what happened in the past, right? But we have to adapt to the way the NFL is moving, right? The NFL has embraced rookies. We've seen wide receiver. The term third-year wide receiver breakout doesn't exist anymore.
No, God no.
You know, I agree. Look at it, you say Justin Jefferson last year, CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Ayuk.
T. Higgins.
Yeah, even the year before that, DK Metcalf, A.J. Brown, Terry McLaurin. So it's these receivers who are getting targets are producing right away. The talent is definitely easier to translate in today's NFL because it's a lot less physical than it used to be. They're running a lot more 3-4 wide receiver sets, so they're getting on the field quickly. They're able to show their talent. And again, you do not trade into the top 10 to draft someone like Devontae Smith to say, we're going to give him 80 targets this year. I mean, unless you're the Raiders and you draft Henry Ruggs. But they're not the Raiders. So as the number one wide receiver, you have to look around that. So me ranking him as wide receiver 30, I feel like I'm taking a conservative approach because he is the number one receiver on his team. There's only 32 number one options. This team, are they going to throw the ball a ton? Maybe not. And that's why I'm dialing it back a little bit. But look at the guys around Devontae Smith in my rankings. Tyler Boyd, he obviously took a tumble a little bit when Jamar Chase was brought on. You look at DJ Chark, talented wide receiver, gets an upgraded quarterback. However, Laviska Shenault is a popular breakout candidate. You have Marvin Jones brought in. You have Travis Etienne lining up at wide receiver. There's obviously other options there. Will Fuller, missing week one, suddenly crowded in Miami. Chase Claypool, which one are we getting? I don't know. Which question. Ben Roethlisberger are we getting? I don't know. So it's like you talk about those wide receivers. I just feel safer about Smith. I feel like you may not get the ceiling that you're getting with Jamar Chase because his quarterback situation isn't as good, but you are going to get consistent targets. And for a wide receiver 3, I think that's all you can ask for.
I have a philosophical question to ask you.
Okay.
I feel like whenever you have ranking discussions with anybody, you have one or two reactions typically, which is when you've done your work and you come to the table with it, you have an idea of where you think a player is. And then when you hear there's a big variance with somebody, it causes you to do one of two things. I feel like it either causes you to get really mad and want to defend this player, right? Or the opposite, which is it makes you go, huh, and kind of sit back and rethink. So I'm curious, when you look at the ECR and you hear these numbers where some other people have a guy like Devontae Smith, does it make you feel like, no, I'm ready to fight? Or does it give you any sort of pause because maybe they don't throw the ball that often in Philadelphia? So even if he is the wide receiver 1, is Hurts in this new offense necessarily capable of putting it all together? That's where I struggle, is him putting it all together with new quarterback, new coach, new system, new all these other things, where, yes, I think you're right, he is the number one, but I don't know if that what that means necessarily compared to some other teams that are locked in with really solid guys, or you know who the number two is, and that number two is already very productive. Do you see where I'm kind of going with this?
Yeah. No, almost every team. So when I go through this every year, almost every team has a wide receiver that's a top 45 guy. Now, to get top 45 is not that hard. All you need is the targets, right? And you could just basically walk into top 45 with a decent amount of targets. Devontae Smith's talent is better than that. Will it translate? He is the most pro-ready wide receiver in the draft, as far as I'm concerned. Ja'Marr Chase, we haven't seen in a year. Now, he was that guy. He was that dude that was just like, his level was kept rising. And I remember watching him. I wasn't even scouting Ja'Marr Chase. And I was watching Justin Jefferson. And every time I'm watching Justin Jefferson, I'm like, oh, that Ja'Marr Chase guy, he's really good. I'm like, I don't remember that dude, because that dude's going to be like the number one pick in rookie drafts. And people, I think, forgot how good he is. But Devontae Smith, again, didn't take that year off football, and his routes are there. Like, there is nothing to develop with Devontae Smith. He's like someone that walks in, you know exactly what you're getting. He's fine. So when you talk about the wide receivers, again, we could break down the rankings. We're going to do that throughout the offseason. But if you talk about those wide receivers down there, I have a lot more question marks about their talent, about their quarterback situation. Otherwise, they would be ahead of the rankings, Devontae Smith. But I think one of the things that plays in Devontae Smith's favor is that it is a new coaching staff. Everybody's learning it. You know, it's not just him. He's coming in as a rookie, sure. But Jalen Reagor, he didn't know this offense. Dallas Goedert, he didn't know this offense. You know, Jalen Hurts, he's learning a new offense. Jalen Hurts actually has some chemistry with Devontae Smith, because they did play together in Alabama for a little bit. So this is something that I'm definitely going to revisit, because I feel like if there's a difference of that much, I need to have conviction. Like, if I'm 13
spots.
Well,
that's kind of my point. Whereas you see a variance of a 10 spot, like 2 spots, 3 spots, whatever.
Right.
But when there's a 10 spot, and I've had the same problem sometimes too, where I look at this and it makes me want to do two things. I want to either want to fight somebody about it, or I want to go the other route, which is saying, all right, what am I not seeing in the downside that really I should look at a little harder? And I think with this next wide receiver, there's another big name, big talent, Jalen Waddle, who right now is at ECR 52. I have him at 49. Again, for me, this is also about, what does this playbook look like this year? What's Tua's progress going to be? And I'm kind of taking more of a wait and see approach. And where you have him, I think, is kind of in the same neighborhood as well.
I have him at wide receiver 42. So I am, again, I'm the high one on this. This is weird.
You are. You're Mr. Rookie this year. Like, if
I'm okay with it, as long as they're top 15 picks, you know.
Is this really Yates in a mask? Is that why your voice is husky? Did you do some kind of weird thing where you're like pretending to be Tags today? Is really Yates talking about rookies?
Totally.
That's what it feels like. What's going on?
If I'm wrong, it's definitely Yates.
It's definitely Yates. Everybody get that? All right, write that down.
No, but I mean, I'm looking at it, and Jalen Waddle is the Miami wide receiver that I would want the most. Will Fuller signed on a 1-year deal. He's suspended for the first week, so you're not going to have him right out of the gate. We don't know how that's going to work with him and Tua. Tua, I don't feel like Tua's not Deshaun Watson, okay? Tua wants a wide receiver that's creating massive separation. And I think about the way that they're going to use Jalen Waddle and the signing they made, like when they drafted him at number 6 overall, like, that's high. That felt high for Jalen Waddle. And I feel like he was a player that projected to be like, people are comparing him to Tyreek Hill. I get it. But he reminded me of little Tyreek Hill, little Steve Smith. Obviously, both fantastic fantasy wide receivers. But the reason I like him so much, and the reason I could see moving him a little bit higher, is because Tua wants a wide receiver that can separate. He talked about last year, his biggest obstacle as a quarterback in the NFL was that his receivers weren't separating as much as they did in college. Well, no crap. You had 4 first-round wide receivers on your team while in Alabama. Like, you have to get used to this. So what did they do? They went out and got him some separators. Will Fuller is more on the perimeter, but I think he's going to love Jalen Waddle playing in the slot, separating. So the reason I can't rank Jalen Waddle higher than I do is because this is a team that I don't think they want to throw the ball 40, 45 times. They're not the Bengals. They're not going to throw the ball that much.
Right.
You do have to worry that Devontae Parker is going to get some targets. He's probably more of a red zone guy. You do have to worry about Will Fuller getting some targets. You know, they have some running backs. Again, Mike Gesicki. So you start piling up all these different options, and it's like, the consistent targets that Ja'Marr Chase or Devontae Smith are going to get, I don't think Jalen Waddle is going to get those. But Jalen Waddle, when he does, they're going to be highly efficient, and he's one of those guys that I would love to have in best ball. He is the wide receiver I'd most like to have on Miami right now, but I don't know if I'm going to draft him. It just depends on
if
he falls to where ECR is, I will definitely have some Jalen Waddle on my teams.
And what's interesting too is, we're sitting here talking about it, all three of these wide receivers have at least some small to large history with the quarterbacks that they've ended up with in the National Football League, which is also a very interesting and very different scenario than we're used to with most of these guys. Quick break here to tell you about Air Medcare. So what is Air Medcare? It's a medical emergency service that when emergency arises, they have world-class air transportation to get you to the nearest hospital, no out-of-pocket expenses. You join today and you never pay a dime for a medical flight when flown by an AMCN provider. Insurance doesn't always cover the full cost of medical emergency. This is a great way to secure financial peace of mind, and memberships cost as low as $85 a year for your entire household. And right now at Fantasy Pros, as a listener, you're going to get a $50 Visa or Amazon gift card with a new membership. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use the offer code Fantasy Pros. No matter where you are in the game of life, Air Medcare Network memberships are the protection that you need that you can't live without. Tags, give me a name that you think of a rookie wide receiver in redraft that is going to be more useful than people realize. I know I've got mine, so I'm curious to hear what yours is.
Ooh, that's tough. Outside of the guys that I'm actually higher on, we've already talked about those guys. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm going to have any other rookie wide receivers.
I've got one. It's Amon-Ra St. Brown. And it's, again, because I think there's opportunity to emerge there. Because you look at the Perrimans, you look at all these other guys that they've got there, it's just not a lot ahead of him. And I feel like if he comes in, he plays well, and all of a sudden he kind of gels with Goff, there's at least opportunity. And once again, there's more of a deeper league play. But I'm looking at the landscape, and yeah, I think a lot of these other guys, there's some talent you like, but you don't know where they fit in. But that's the one that I kind of circle and say, opportunity might come faster for this guy than some others.
It can, yes, but it also might be a little bit less than people think. I think people, I'm not kidding. Like when I look at early ADP in best ball, you're seeing Amon-Ra St. Brown go as the first Lions wide receiver off the board. Well, this team did sign Tyrell Williams immediately in free agency. He actually has history in Anthony Lynn's offense. He knows it. He's going to play a perimeter role. Then you talk about Breshad Perriman. They signed him. Okay. So who's playing the slot? You know, Quintez Cephas is someone that I liked coming out of school last year. I have no idea how this new coaching staff likes him if they don't. But St. Brown is someone that fell into the fourth round. And people could argue that he was the top of the fourth round. You could argue whatever you want. But I've gone through it, and I have data back, I think it's 12 years now, of fourth round wide receivers that were drafted. None of them, absolutely zero, have finished as a top 50 fantasy wide receiver in year one. And I get it. People want to say, oh, the opportunity's there and this and that. And this is not a bias thing. This is literally just looking at the grand scheme of things and saying there's been a lot of wide receivers drafted in the fourth round. And there's a reason that he fell to the fourth round.
Sure.
You know, especially in a league where they go 3 and 4 wide all the time. It was a shock to see some wide receivers that went before him go. But at the same time, I don't think he's going to be given that role right out of the gate. I think he might have to earn it. So you're looking at a player that might see 2-3 targets a game to start the year. Those are guys you drop for the hot waiver wire pickups. And I can't see St. Brown coming out of the gate, getting 7-8 targets in his first game and just becoming a fantasy superstar out the gate. So
I'll take the other side and flip it just for so everybody has both sides of this argument. Everything Tags is saying is correct. I'm going to take the other side of, I've seen enough Perriman in my life to know what he is.
Yeah.
I've seen enough Tyrell Williams injured to understand that that is a real concern. And I also understand that he is not a fourth round wide receiver talent, which is the key thing that you mentioned. You were kind of surprised to see him land there. And I think that's because there were some teams are wide receiver hungry. They took them early. And then where the draft picks fell, there just wasn't a lot of need in there for a lot of guys. So I think that's why St. Brown for me kind of fits the bill. And Tags is correct regardless. I do think it's more of a last 6 to 8 weeks than the first 6 to 8 weeks that you're going to like him on your roster. Again, more of a deeper league half point PPR option. Let's play a little game to close things out here. A little rapid fire. We got a 2-minute drill for you. A little would you rather. I'm going to give you a name of wide receiver, and then I'm going to try to tempt you to see if you want to take one of these other names over Jamar Chase. Let's start with him. Tyler Boyd or Jamar Chase?
Chase. Who would you rather? That's Chase.
How about Deebo Samuel? I know you're a big fan.
Chase.
All right. Robbie Anderson or Chase?
It's Chase.
Jerry Jeudy or Chase?
Chase.
Joe Pisapia or Chase? Careful. Oof, careful.
That's close. I'm going to go Chase, but it was close. I had to think
about it. All right. That's fair. At least you thought about it. Devontae Smith or Devontae Parker? Is there a better Devontae?
Yeah, I'll take Smith.
Okay. Laviska Shenault or Devonta Smith?
Getting closer, but I'll still take Devontae.
Michael Pittman or Smith?
Oh, this one's easy. I'm going Devontae.
Jarvis Landry or Smith?
Give me the give me the unknown. Give me the unknown, because Landry is someone that he's that guy that's fine. I mean, he's not going to lose you a fantasy league, but he's not going to win it for you either. Jarvis Landry's never going to become a top 15 wide receiver in terms of like weekly rankings. You're never going to see him there. Devontae Smith has that upside in his range of outcomes. So there's a little bit of unknown. I guess it depends on what you want. I don't build my rosters with safety. So you need some of it. It's like a stock portfolio. You need some of it.
Sure.
But with how high Landry will go in terms of if I'm on the clock and I have a balanced roster, I'll take Devontae Smith.
Hey, look, and obviously everything's about roster construction. That's so important to these kind of conversations. All right, Jalen Waddle, let's do this one. Waddle or Jamison Crowder?
I don't think Crowder's going to be on a roster here in a couple weeks.
I kind of agree with you. Cole Beasley or Jalen Waddle?
Waddle.
Darnell Mooney or Waddle?
Waddle.
Antonio Brown or Waddle?
I think I might go Antonio Brown there.
So far, I'm in agreement with you on all these. Brown over Waddle is where I would go. Yeah. I think Smith over all those guys. Chase for me is also probably all those guys, but I want to throw a wrinkle in if I can. Jerry Jeudy with Aaron Rodgers or Chase?
Oh.
Ah, damn, that's right. You. That's why I'm here, baby, in the big chair.
Damn it.
I ask the tough questions.
Oh man, that's tough. I probably still go with Chase just because, again, there's a chemistry factor, and Rodgers is the type of guy that he is a very timing-based quarterback. He expects his wide receivers to be in places at certain times, and you've seen that where he's developed relationships, and then he trusts wide receivers. So I'd still go Chase, but, I mean, Jeudy would move way up.
All right, last one here real quick. Kyle Pitts or Dallas Goedert? They're both in front of you on a draft board, half point PPR. Who you got?
I'll go Goddard. There's less competition for targets. I mean, again, Zach Ertz is going to be gone, and people talk about the two tight end sets and that Philly was going to draft. No, it's a new offense. It really is. But Goddard, in terms of like the talent around him in the competition, he's the number two, maybe number one. I think that number one is Devontae Smith, but number two is Dallas Goedert. So I'll say Goddard right now. It's okay. If Julio goes, that's when I would consider going Pitts.
Fair
over
enough.
Goddard.
Fair enough. All right. I want to remind everybody and thank our sponsor today's show, www.airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros. Again, use that coupon code fantasypros. That's airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros to get your $85 a year membership. And also want to thank IP Vanish. Again, head over to ipvanish.com/pros to claim your 65% off savings. And also, reminder, thanks to our friends at Pristine Auction, go to fantasypros.com/contest to get involved in that Calvin Ridley jersey, and check out our ECR over at fantasypros.com/rankings, and also check out all the cold medicine that Tags is going to take as soon as we're done here today. Tags, you're a tough guy, baby. I love that we were able to get this done today. I think it was great stuff. I think everybody will love it. And again, make sure you subscribe to all of our great content here at Fantasy Pros. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Tags, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.